Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
Blaise is with me on the line today because you got in touch, Blaise. You sent us an email to tell us about your recent flight to Ibiza from Dublin. What happened?
It really started at the departure gate. We arrived at the departure gate and there were two groups of people that I was concerned about in terms of they were making an awful lot of noise. They appeared to be inebriated. And given what Michael O'Leary had stated about not tolerating inebriated passengers on their flights, as I was about to board the plane, I brought it to the attention of the female member of the ground crew, and she didn't appear happy that I was concerned about this. At that point, I'd actually forgotten that my husband's boarding pass was on my phone, and I swiped my boarding pass and went through, and he called at me after I went through, literally 30 seconds later, and said, "You need to come back, my boarding pass is on your phone." So I came back through, and at that point, the member of ground crew that I had admitted my concern to said, "The flight is closed, he can't board," and which I was frankly amazed by, and I said, "But sure, you know, it's 45 seconds, 30 seconds, whatever it was, since I walked through," and she said, "He can't board, the flight is closed." So I, you know, was trying to figure out, do I create a fuss? Or I asked her, would she get a manager? I said, "We are picking up Australian in-laws tomorrow morning from the airport." I said, "We have to board this flight." So it did occur to me at the time. I thought, well, they didn't call a last boarding. You know what I mean? Like, say, passengers. They didn't call his name, which meant, would imply that they hadn't counted the passenger manifest, because if they had, they would see that one passenger hadn't boarded the flight. They said nothing to anybody and just, according to this lady, were closing the flight and not allowing him get on the flight. So anyway, a lot of humming and hawing and to and froing without telling us why they were suddenly going to allow him board the flight, they did. So we boarded the flight and it was clear that there were two groups of people on the flight who were already, like before it ever took off, they were making quite a lot of noise. But it just deteriorated hugely.
Just, Blaise, sorry to cut across for a moment. When you say two different groups, I presume these are maybe potentially friends or family. Can you give us a kind of a rough age demographic of who you were talking about?
Okay, the group in front of me, I think there were about six or seven of them. They were all, I would say, 22 to 24. They were all male. The group that were way down the other end of the flight, I would say they were older, maybe late 20s. Maybe as much as 30. They seem to be mixed, male and female. Despite the fact that, you know, the first thing that Stuart said when we sat down was, "If you drink your own alcohol or vape or play music, the police will be waiting for us in Ibiza." And of course, people, I don't know about the vaping, but certainly they were playing music. And I have no idea whether they were drinking their own alcohol or not. I didn't see that. But what I can attest to is that as they became noisier and noisier and more obstructive, the crew continued to serve them drinks. And in my line of sight, I could see there were two people. There was a young girl who was shaking from head to toe, and there was another lady who was just very agitated because the noise was just overwhelming.
Sorry, the lady, sorry, Blaise, the young girl and the lady that you say were shaken, they weren't part of these groups. These were just other passengers like yourself.
No, they weren't. The young girl was part of, there was a two family group. She was in front of me to the right. She was about 15. She was very shaken. And I was just sitting there looking at her thinking, why should she be subjected to this? You know, we have all paid for our tickets. And since I arrived in Ibiza, Andrea, I've spoken to all of my friends that I meet up with here every year. People from flew in from Cardiff, Bristol, Stansted, Holland. None of them had any disruption on their flights. And the flight from Dublin, I mean, we have never had a pleasant experience flying from Dublin to Ibiza. Now, Ibiza to Dublin is absolutely fine. It's completely silent because none of these people appear to have any money left. And, you know, a lot of them, you know, don't even look right when they're boarding the flight. But the Dublin to Ibiza portion of it is just horrific. I mean, and, you know, I just thought, we're not going to get out of this unscathed. I wouldn't surprise me if the police are going to alight the plane. And, of course, you know, the police and the paramedics were waiting for us when we arrived.
Were they? So, yeah. So the noise was that bad that obviously, to be fair to the air hostesses on board, they obviously had flagged this with security personnel in Ibiza who were waiting for you guys when you landed.
Well, what happened was, oh God, this is kind of revolting. There was this young girl saying that she could organise, you know, hookups for people on the flight if they so wanted. And at one point, a shirtless young guy, just in a pair of shorts, and a girl went into the toilet. And they came out about 10 minutes later to lots of whooping and shouting and yelling from these two groups of people. And the steward opened the toilet door after they exited it. And whatever he saw, he would then went and got a large bag of white wet wipes. And myself and Paul saw this, the man who was sitting to my left. He got a large bag of wet wipes and cleaned up whatever it was that they had left in the bathroom.
Sorry, just to be clear about this. So you're sitting in your seat on the plane.
Row five, clear view of the toilet.
And a shirtless guy and a girl, you witnessed both of them go into the one cubicle at the one time.
I did.
Spend 10 minutes in there.
Yes.
The two of them come out together out of this cubicle.
Yes.
And the air hostess goes in.
The steward, it was a man.
The steward goes in with wet wipes.
And cleans the toilet. And myself and Paul looked at each other and he said, well, I won't be using the toilet. And I said, well, I'll be waiting until I get to the terminal. At which point, the young man in front of me said, I want one. To the young girl who had claimed she had organised the hookup. And she said, oh, you know, just tell me whoever you want. He got up out of his seat and he pointed at me and he said, I want her. At which point my new friend, Paul, that I've been discussing, you know, plumbing and damp-proofing, we were just trying to distract ourselves from the mayhem. He intervened at that point. And at that point, I said to him, you need to be very, very careful. I said, that man on the other side of the aisle is my husband. And my husband had both earplugs and headphones on and his eyes closed. Because I said to him, you need to remove yourself from this because my husband's getting very worked up by the noise and the shouting and people jumping over seats and all the rest of it. And it was only at that point that young man realized that I wasn't a middle-aged woman on my own talking to young couple, but that the person in the aisle seat across from him was my husband. And I thank God my husband didn't hear it because the people listening to this who would know my husband, I think it would have it could have been quite a more unpleasant situation if my husband had heard basically a young man on a Ryanair flight sexually harassing me, which is what he was doing.
Did you report that, Liz?
I didn't. There was no point. I mean, the whole thing was completely out of control. There was about another 45 minutes of the flight. I just wanted to get through it. The young nurse stuck in the middle seat with these people. God love her, she'd booked that seat. And she turned around, she got up out of her seat and turned around and she said, can you please tell me? She was like quite, you know, agitated. Mm. How long more we have on this plane? And I said, you have another 40 minutes. I said, if you need, you know, to talk to anybody, you can just turn around in your seat and talk to the two of us.
Well, fair play to you.
I'm 64. I've been around the block. But I just thought, you know, enough is enough. We paid for our seats. You know, everybody has their own stresses in life. We should not be subjected to that. And certainly they should have stopped selling them alcohol when it became clear their behaviour was out of control.
So you feel that they were intoxicated before boarding the flight. You flagged that with the air stewards on the ground in Dublin before anyone boarded the plane. And drink continued to be served on board mid-flight as well.
Yes, yes. And then when the flight landed, the steward said, everyone stay in your seats with seatbelt fastened because the paramedics and the police are coming to the flight, at which point a very angry looking pilot came out of the cockpit and exchanged words with the two stewards. So we sat there for 15 minutes in the sweltering heat. The young guy who had been shirtless, who was in the toilet with the girl, he was carried off the flight by paramedics. I wouldn't have said he was unconscious. We were told by the steward that there was an unconscious person on the flight and that was going to be removed by paramedics. He looked semi-conscious to me, but the paramedics removed him. And then two people from the group further down the flight that I had admitted concerns about, a man and a woman, they were asked to go with the police. And one from the group in front of me, which is the other group I'd been concerned about, the police were waiting for them. So there was 15 minutes sitting there in the sweltering heat. I mean, you think it's warm in Ireland. You can imagine what it's like here.
Gosh, I know.
And then it didn't stop there. Then there was an elderly woman whose bag was misplaced. Now, it turned out that the stewards had put it in with their bags, or at least that's what was said to us on the bus. So people were asked by any chance had they taken her bag. One of the people who had been interviewed by the police decided that it was being implied he'd stolen her bag. So when her bag was found and he had boarded the bus, we were all already on the bus. And again, it's stinking hot. You know, you're talking 32, 33 degrees.
Humidity and everything. And people are...
People are tired, stressed and upset. And he starts hurling abuse at this elderly woman that she was accusing him of stealing his bag, which she wasn't. Mm. She just wanted to get her bag back. Mm-hmm. At which point, a very big Spanish police officer boarded the bus, prodded him in the chest and shouted at him, "No trouble in Spain." And at that point, he got off the bus, the doors closed, and finally we got to the terminal and we got out of there as quickly as we could. It was just so stressful. And what else was stressful about it was, you know, myself and Paul, you know, my new chum, were sitting there talking about what happened if there was a crisis midair. What would those people impede our exit from the plane? Would we have to try and get them off the plane? You know what I mean? You're talking about people who are like so intoxicated. If there had been a problem midair, what would have happened?
This is you can hear a blaze in your voice. I mean, it was an awful experience.
All of them have been an awful experience. But I mean, to be honest with you, it not only was it awful, but sitting, you know, the two people I had been concerned about were the two people that were interviewed by the police. Mm. And to have one of that group then proposition me on a flight, like, I just think that's outrageous. I don't even think that guy should have been on the flight.
Have you got on to Ryanair, out of curiosity, since you've got back?
I haven't, because we've been showing my Australian sister-in-law and her husband around. But myself and Paul, who was, you know, sitting to the left of me on the flight, we discussed this and I said, I'm going to be typing this while it's all very, very clear in my mind what occurred here tonight. And he had already given me his email address. So I ran it by him and said that was 100%, as far as he was concerned, his version of events.
This is the person who was
just appalling. And then everybody else you meet in Ibiza had a completely uneventful flight. Nothing happened on any of their flights.
And I take it from what you've said, you've gone to Ibiza from Dublin with Ryanair previously.
Well, I've been going to Ibiza since I was 19.
Oh, right, okay.
I'm 64.
Right,
so... I'm 64, so I've been coming here for 45 years.
Yeah.
Oh, no, and I mean, we used to be, it would be great when Aer Lingus flew here, but they just stopped. They you know, suddenly announced they weren't flying to Ibiza anymore. And the only other way of getting here would be to go via, you know, Spain or Hamburg or whatever. And I just think, why should I have to go? I mean, Paul was saying to me, he said, you know, I'd love to meet up with you and your husband in Ibiza again. You know, we could go via Hamburg. And I was sitting there thinking, why should I fly via Hamburg because of the behaviour of other passengers?
And when you've been on previous flights to Ibiza, have you experienced behaviour anything akin to this?
Yes. It's always very disruptive.
Is it?
There's always a lot of intoxication. Now, the reason, I mean, I sent you the email I sent you was because Ryanair, as you know, recently prosecuted somebody who caused a flight to be diverted. And I just, and you know, and Brian and Michael O'Leary said he wasn't tolerating inebriation on his flights anymore. And I thought, well, not only is your airline tolerating it, but your staff are selling them drink.
Will you get on to Ryanair about this?
Oh, when I get back to Ireland, I will.
Yeah.
You know, when I have, you know, safely, you know, deposited my Australian in-laws at departures in you know, Ibiza, or maybe we're back in Ireland ourselves. But to be honest with you, we were so angry for days, and I thought this shouldn't be the beginning of our holiday.
No, and you don't want to be wound up like this, and you know it's in your mind, and you're frustrated clearly about it, Blaise. You know, and I'm sure anyone listening today would probably feel the same. But so that's why you put pen to paper and got in touch with us here.
Well, and I have no intention. You know, I mean, I run a charity from my laptop, and I do other bits and pieces in terms of, you know, how I make an actual living. The charity is voluntary, and the charity goes with me wherever I go. So you know, I still have to function every day, and. You know, tune into whoever is asking me for help. But apart from that, I expect it just to be chilling out and meeting up with my friends.
Yeah.
But I would have to say, for the first kind of 2 days, we were both very wound up
and angry.
And I mean, my husband was furious when I told him I'd been propositioned by somebody who was certainly young enough to be my son. I would suggest if, you know, his mother gave birth to him in her 20s, then I could have been his grandmother. But the fact that he thought he could do that, it's the arrogance of it, you know.
Well, look, I'm sorry to hear, Blaise, about your experience, and I'm sure our listeners today are just absolutely, you know, stunned by what you witnessed. I mean, like, a flight is a fairly confined space, and by three seats by three seats. I can understand that, you know, that you would naturally be very anxious watching this unfold. I hope after this you'll get to enjoy some of your trip to Ibiza.
Oh no, I'm happy out. I'm not living in Ukraine. Nobody's bombing my house. You know, I have very little in life to complain about. But I just think it's absolutely unacceptable that people who fly to Ibiza from Dublin should be subjected to this. I also think it's unacceptable that the ground crew in the airport in Ibiza and the police are met with the level of rowdiness and drunkenness that comes off the Dublin flight. I don't think they should have to deal with it either.
Mm.
Apart altogether from passengers who paid for their tickets.
Mm. Well, look, as I said, I'm sure there'll be people listening today, maybe on board that flight, Blaise, or maybe they've been on other flights and they've experienced something similar. If they want to get in touch with us, it's 1800 453 106. That's the number. Blaise, listen, thanks a million for contacting us and sharing your experience with us. And I'm, you know, in the same breath, I'm sorry to hear that that's the experience you had, but we do appreciate your time here on the programme this afternoon.
Well, thank you for talking to me.
No problem at all. Email if you want to share your own stories. Lunchtime Live at newstalk.com. We got on to Ryanair about Blaise's experience after she sent us the email, and they've come back to us this lunchtime. And what they tell us in relation to Blaise's flight story from Dublin, Ryanair is committed to ensuring that all passengers and crew travel in a comfortable and stress-free environment, environment free of unnecessary disruption caused by a tiny number of unruly passengers. Ryanair has a strict zero-tolerance policy towards passenger misconduct and will continue to take action to combat unruly passenger behaviour on aircraft for the benefit of the vast majority of passengers who do not disrupt flights. So that's Ryanair's response in relation to Blaise's story. Other texters, though, getting in touch with us, listening to Blaise this afternoon on 087 1400 106, telling me that this listener says, I'm a frequent flyer and this is a common problem for all flights to Ibiza. If you actually really want a quiet flight, you should fly with British Airways via Heathrow. But as Blaise says, she shouldn't have to do that. She shouldn't have to fly from a different country because of the problems. And it seems to have appeared, I mean, when you listen to her talk about the Mile High Club that she witnessed on board the flight. Another texter tells me, Ibiza flights are notorious for this. Even the very early ones, you'll always find people have started the holiday very early on in the airport pub. And another listener for the moment says, we went on a family trip to Ibiza in June. My kids were in shock at how different the flight was but everyone was very friendly and having fun. Everyone was up dancing to speakers. There was banging tunes. There was couples shifting. It was like the nightclub had already started in the flight. But it's Ibiza, so what do you expect? The flight had been delayed because somebody had vaped on the landing flight, so they had to wait. And as soon as that happened, someone was arrested. The flight attendants were assertive. There was no booze for sale. They warned people to sit down in a friendly but in a firm way. You could tell he was experienced in this type of flight. We weren't bothered by anyone, just young people having fun. Granted, drunk, but not harming anyone. In this case, says this texter. Keep your experiences coming into us. We'll come back to this a little bit later in the show. The email, if you've experienced anything similar to Blaise on a flight to Ibiza, it's lunchtimelive@newstalk.com.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on News Talk. Conversation that counts.